This is Cliffo and Gabby's podcast.
Today on the Cliffo and Gabby Saturday Sideshow, the topic of conversation that came up had me questioning your marriage, Gabs. And it was all to do with the way that you butter a toasted sandwich.
Oh, yes. Nev and I differ in opinion on this, and it could be the end of the marriage because he's done it wrong.
Yeah. 3 months in, Gabby's calling time. Plus, me getting swooped by magpies because it's magpie swoopers. But not how you'd expect. The little suckers,
yeah.
They can get you more way than one. Plus, I want to mention this as well too, Gabby's unwritten Aussie rules. There's certain rules I think we all abide by.
We all abide by
being
them.
Being Aussies.
But foreigners come in and they're like, where is this damn rule book? Because you've got some weird ones, guys.
Hang about. It's all coming up. This is Cliffo and Gabby's Saturday Sideshow. It's the bits that we didn't get to during the Monday to Friday podcast. So enjoy. It's magpie season right now.
They're at it. They're at it again.
A little while ago, do you remember who this was? You found a thing on the internet. It was a couple of blokes talking about magpies and the issues surrounding magpies in Australia at this time of year.
It's the Aussie man commentating thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That goes viral on YouTube.
Look at this bird, ready to consume your mortal soul, looking for eyeballs to poke out. They sit up on power lines, acquiring targets, and bam, flying out of trees, taking on entire families. We're struggling to reduce carbon emissions because none of us want to ride bloody bikes down here.
Truth.
It's so true.
True words spoken.
Yep.
And it was only on Friday I was at the park with the kids and I saw a bloke get swooped. So it was fresh in my mind when I was mowing the lawn yesterday.
Ooh.
Had a very lawn kind of weekend.
Lawn heavy weekend.
Over the cooler months, I have very much neglected the lawn.
Yeah.
So had a very lawn heavy weekend. And because I haven't mowed for a while, and I should say too, we have lots of birds around our house because a couple of neighbours, nice neighbourhood, they got a lot of bird baths and stuff and they feed the birds.
Lovely.
High bird population, yeah. It's lovely, Gabby. It's really lovely.
10 birds every one human.
Yes. I love being outnumbered by an animal that has the ability to fly when I don't. It's great. But yeah, so doing the lawns, and because I haven't mowed for a while, when I mowed, there must have been lots of bugs.
Oh, yeah.
And worms.
Flying around everywhere.
Just stuff that, not really flying around, just, I guess, crawling around or whatever. Because sometimes when you haven't mowed in a while, I know you get a bit of moisture in there or whatever, the birds have a nice little hidey hole, you know. So by mowing, I was exposing them, which is just a buffer for magpies.
Yeah, you're right.
So
it's a smorgasbord.
To the point where there was like three or four, and I would like mow a patch, and that was like the equivalent if you're at a buffet, like someone bringing out a fresh tray of pizza for them. So they're like waiting around, and they start literally swooping in from all directions. And because I've seen old mate get swooped on Friday and it's in my mind, I'm sort of, whoa. Do you know what I mean? Because they were coming in very close as I'm mowing the patch.
But they're not coming
they're
for
kinda
you.
They're kind of coming in. No, but they're still magpies swooping in your direction.
Like yeah. So it's still freaky.
Like, you can't tell me. You'd be like, I'm brave. I'm not going to freak out with the magpies swooping at me. You'd be freaking out too. And then the last one was like a really big mother. Big sucker flaps on in to the point where I could literally feel its presence, like feel its wind over the top.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it even touched the top of my, I had my big daggy Bunnings mowing hat on.
Of course.
But I could feel its presence whoof, comes in to the point where I just fall backwards and sort of catch myself, my hand on the back of the ground.
Oh, wow.
My bum then does sort of hit it. And I get up and I scream out like the F word, like the worst, the word there is or whatever. And then I go, oh, I should look around and just double check there's no one around. And of course, the neighbor, the new neighbor, and he's like 3-year-old son standing right there. Hi, how are you? Yeah.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Welcome to the neighborhood. Watch out for the magpies. I'm your crazy swearing neighbor.
Oh, God, I had quite the Saturday night, Cliffo. I was meant to have cocktails and a show with the girls. Girls' night out. We're going to be having a bad time. Yes. I've been looking forward to it all week.
I heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
Countdown on girls'
Saturday night.
Girls' night out.
Girls' night. And then come Saturday night, I get out. I have about 10 minutes at the show with the girls when I get a call from Nev.
At a show as well too?
Yeah, it was a show. So like he tries to call me, right? And I'm sitting in a show and he's calling me. I'm like, you know I can't answer. So,
but this is the thing. Like when your phone rings,
you know it's an emergency.
And your partner knows you're in a show.
Mm-hmm.
You have to call back.
You've got to call
back.
So
last time this happened was during the last Wonder Woman movie.
Yes, that's right.
My son had eaten a Milky Way.
Yep.
Which, oh, by the way, yeah, warning allergic. Guys, read those ingredients.
Those labels.
Contains egg.
Mm-hmm.
And he went into full like anaphylactic shock.
And you know, if you're getting that call while you're in a show, you got to go. Yeah. And so I raced out to
good
the
motto.
Foyer. Thank you. It's what I live by. I raced out to the foyer. I called Nev back. And he was like, Bear is vomiting blood. You have to get home right now. And I was like, what is happening? Anyway, so rewind. What had happened was I poisoned the weeds in the garden.
Yes.
We have these feral, like, fern weeds and those, like, thistle weeds. Like,
yeah.
All these crappy weeds growing in the garden, and they were annoying the crap out of me. And what I normally do is I lock Bear inside.
Yes.
And I poison the weeds.
So, like, a Roundup spray?
Yeah, pretty
kind
much.
Of thing, yeah.
Just from Bunnings, and you spray it on. And then once it's dry, it's not an issue for pets anymore, the one that I buy. I make sure I get the one that's, you know, safe for pets. So once it's dry, I then let him back outside to go to the toilet. So it was a couple of hours later. I'm like, it's definitely dry now. Off you go the loo. And he went outside. We never watch him when he's outside. Why would we? He's just going to the toilet.
But well, there was that time when the vet said you had to watch him.
Well, that's, poops, yeah.
And you stalked him out while he was doing his number twos.
Well, that's where I'm at now. I'm
what
having
a,
to
what
stalk
a creeper,
him again.
By the way. But, anyway.
But he comes inside and he's all normal for a little bit. And then it was while I was getting ready to go out, he did this huge vomit. And we were like, what the hell is that? And it was a collection of weed. He had eaten the weed that I had just sprayed in the garden, which he has never done in his life. He's never eaten anything in the garden like that. So we were like, oh my God, that's a bit weird. And we thought after getting it up, he might be all right.
Yeah.
No, he went on to vomit a fair few more times. And so I was way home from the show freaking out. We figured out there is actually, you know how there's a poisons hotline for people who have accidentally ingested poison?
Yeah.
There's one for pets.
Yeah, my mum had to call it when I ate a leaf. Well, leaves. Like half a dozen of these leaves when I was a kid.
Right. Well, there's one for pets. And so we called it after hours. It costs like $100 if you want to get some information.
Wow.
But it turns out because the one that we get is technically pet safe, like of course it's going to upset his stomach and of course it's going to make
him
a bit sick, but it's not going to kill him. And just the fact that he had vomited multiple times probably caused a bit of irritation and that would have been the blood. But then we had to watch him like a hawk for the next few hours to make sure like he was eating and pooping and everything as normal. So I was stalking him out all night. I had to sleep on the couch to make sure I would follow him outside every time he went outside. But oh my God, the farts.
Oh,
no
really?
No one warns you of an upset stomach fart
the
from
Roundup
a dog.
Farts.
Holy moly, he has stunk me out of house and home. I can't, like, I don't even want to go home after work. It's just going to be a festive place to go.
It's like mustard gas.
Yes! I was making toasties for dinner on Friday night, Cliffo. It's a very lazy dinner, I know, but it's just one of those things that you resort to if there's no food left in the house and you can't be bothered. And when I was making them, fiancé Nev turned, husband Nev turned to me and was like, what the hell are you doing? And I didn't think you could have any kind of argument over a toastie. But it turns out.
No, because everyone's going to have a toast. Like, everyone has the potential
to
eat a toastie.
Yeah. And
like that's never.
It's very simple.
A bad situation.
No. And everything about it is very self-explanatory. You put two pieces of bread, stuff in the middle, and you toast it. Like, it's not that hard. But I was buttering the bread, getting ready for the toastie, and I had butter on the outsides, as you do. And he was like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, I'm buttering the outside of the toastie.
Yeah.
And he was flabbergasted. He was like, why would you do that? You put the butter on the inside like a normal sandwich. And
he's
then it's like a non-stick toasty maker, so it's fine. You
How
stick
long have
it
you
in,
guys
it's
been
fine.
Together for?
6 years. And I'm only
and
just
this,
learning this.
This realization is
know.
Just
I know.
Coming to the table now.
I know. I feel like he's lied to me for 6 years.
So no matter what the toasty is, ham, cheese, tomato.
Doesn't matter.
Chicken avo, whatever.
He just had Vegemite and cheese.
And he puts butter.
On the inside.
On both. both fits red on the inside.
On the inside. Well, I What's do not put on? It on the inside. I only put it on the outside. So I need to settle this argument on 13, 10, 60. When you're making a toasty, do you butter the inside or the outside of the toasty?
So for me, clearly it's only the outside. Mm. And the reasoning is as follows. Number one, you get that beautiful golden browning colour on the bread.
Sure.
If you put the butter on the outside.
You do.
But also you still get the flavouring of the butter. Like, it's the same as putting it on the inside. You just get a nice cooked buttery kind of thing on the outside.
Well, his...
Sure, you might get, your fingers might get a little...
That's what his thing was. You
they
get
may
oily
get
fingers.
A little oily.
When you're trying to eat it.
But bro, paper towel's not that dear.
Get yourself a napkin.
Like one square each. We'll be fine.
Because that was his thing. He's like, if you put it on the inside, you still get the flavour and you still like get toast. Like, it's still toasty, but you don't get the feral oiliness on your fingers.
13, 10, 60. Do you butter the inside or the outside of a toasty? Do you butter the outside like a normal functioning member of society, or do you butter the inside like someone who should be locked inside a padded cell? Eddie's first, inside or outside, brother?
Well, mate, I do mine on the outside. That's the way my mum taught me.
Yeah.
But my fiance, she swears by putting the butter on the inside.
Leave her.
Really?
Yes, I know.
Leave her, Eddie.
I'll listen to the way my mum taught me. So.
Yeah.
Put it in your wedding vows.
She's got more experience.
And it comes out.
I think too that you've hit something on there though. You've got to do it your mum's way.
That's like, true.
You know, I grew up watching my mum make toasted sandwiches.
Yeah.
Like, geez, you've got to copy mum's recipe.
In the frying pan.
Yeah.
Mine was.
If you dumped your mum's recipe to go with your fiance's mum would never forgive you. Leslie's here. Leslie, butter the inside or the outside?
I'll butter both sides.
Oh, really?
Whoa, that's a lot
of butter.
Hectic.
This is a whole other option.
Yes. If you butter both sides, it's easy for the ham to stick to the bread.
Oh, because otherwise it's all sliding around everywhere.
It sort of forms an oil layer or something, like an oil glue, and sticks the ham to the bread. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I guess so, yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than when you make a toasted sandwich and it slips.
And it falls apart,
And they slip off each other.
That sounds really appetizing, an oil glue.
An oil glue, like clag. That's what clag was. Jimmy's here. Same dealio, Jimmy. You butter both sides, you mad dog.
Both sides. You got to do both sides.
What's your reasoning?
Yeah, what's your reasoning?
Oh, it just tastes better.
Okay. Better. The more butter, the better taste.
Well, butter is bad for you, isn't it? In generally life, the more of whatever's bad for you
tastes better.
Amazing.
There's an expat who has started a list that's gone absolutely bananas online. The unwritten rules of Australia. So it's what we do here in Oz that maybe other countries are a bit weirded out by that we all agree on. We all think that these things are law, even though they're unwritten. And so I've just got a couple for you that I thought really describe us Australians. So if any foreigners are listening, maybe get a pen and paper out because you need to take notes. So for example, the first one I'm going to give you is behaving like a boss is a recipe for disaster in Australia. Even if you are the boss, treat everyone equally. No slapping fingers, no whistling. Mm. You know, like when people do that to waiters at a restaurant, it's not okay.
Yeah.
Australia will not put up with that.
We give the tall poppy thing going on there, don't we? Who do you think you are?
Yes.
Snapping at a waiter.
Just because you're a boss doesn't give you the right. Yeah, exactly. Show some manners. So words like thank you and please are overused in Australia. I disagree they're overused. I think compared to other countries,
we use them a lot more than other countries.
Yeah.
Like, you go to France, no pleasantries.
Oh, definitely
no, please,
not.
No, thank you.
No way. Adding mate to the end of a sentence will make you sound friendly. Even if you're a foreigner with an accent, people will respect you more for putting mate at the end of everything.
Mate.
It's so true. All right, mate. No worries, mate. It's a crime to jump in on queues in Australia.
Isn't that everywhere?
Supposedly not in Australia. Like, you will pretty much be taken to jail if you do that.
Right.
Supposedly we get very passionate about that. And finally, and this is so true, the no double dipping rule is law in Australia.
Unless you turn the jet around. But early on WTF Wednesdays, we like to give you a little teaser story.
WTF teaser.
WTF teaser. A little entree before the meme.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the dancing plague of 1518?
No. Is this like before Footloose where they banned dancing?
They had to ban dancing. So this happened in France 500 years ago.
Okay.
503 years ago. There were multiple cases of dancing mania.
Huh?
Up to 400 people took to dancing in the streets for weeks and they could not control it. Now go with me here because it was a real plague. None of this is made up. So it started after a... I'm going to turn the music off because this is serious, right? People died.
What?
Sure, it was 500 years ago. Oh, yeah. They danced to death.
What?
So it started after a single woman just started dancing. Initially, of course, because it was 500 years ago, it was thought it was caused by demonic possession or divine judgment.
Okay.
Doctors ultimately intervened, putting afflicted people, like I said, up to 400 of them, in hospitals. So they would just dance in hospitals. They were like rave hospitals. The plague killed around 15 people per day who literally danced to their deaths. So these people would be dancing manically. And some of the times they would stop. It would stop and they would go, oh my God, help me, help me, help me. Then whoop, the beat would come back in, the drop, and they'd be back up again.
What
caused it? Now, that's the thing that, of course, everyone wants to know because it sounds so outrageous.
So outrageous.
It's 100% true. So now we've got modern medicine and modern theories. We can look back at what happened and go, WTF? Two potential things, right? One, first theory as to what caused this, stress-induced hysteria. So you got to remember, we're talking 1518. This is like Les Mis kind of times. Les Mis, the musical, literally means the miserables. Everyone was just living horrible lives back then. There was no food. It was cold. It was just awful. So many individuals suddenly exhibiting the same bizarre behavior and that spreads rapidly and broadly in epidemic patterns. That's called stress-induced mass hysteria.
Wow.
And it's happened before. It happened in New York years ago, just a few years ago, like in our lifetimes.
Oh, with the riots.
Well, I don't know. No, not the riots, the laughing.
The laughing.
Yeah, there was a similar sort of thing. People were just laughing. And then it went on and on and on, yeah.
Ugh.
So, and that was during a sort of a bad time in New York's history or whatever, but that's a real one. You can look that up.
Okay.
But the other theory, other than stress-induced mass hysteria, the other theory out there is food poisoning that caused all the dancing. Toxic and psychoactive chemical products were on grains at the time, mainly rye, which is what the French made their bread out of.
Oh.
So essentially they were eating poison bread and pretty much every time they're having a sanger, doing a bit of acid.
So, wow.
Yeah.
So they were, their body was in a lot of pain from the poison, but they were also tripping a little bit.
They're double tripping. So that's it, everyone.
Wow.
That's your WTF Wednesday
teaser.
It's the true story too, the dancing plague of 1518.
How interesting.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it's a sort of a shocking one, isn't it?
If only there was iPhones back then so we could...
Capture it, right?
Capture it.
I feel a little guilty sort of laughing at the fact that, you know, 400 people died. But it was 503 years ago. I think we're allowed to laugh
about it. The statute of limitations can't pass now,
the statute of limitations on laughing at dead people passes after that long, surely. It's been a very fainty week, right?
It has.
So... by that, I mean it started about a week ago when we saw quite dramatically one of the older members of the Queen's Guard faint in front of her casket.
And fall down a step. Like he was actually on that bit of a platform.
Did you see the longer version where first he, like it was sort of out there, the video was telescoped down. So first he got real kind of like shaky or whatever.
He staggered a bit.
And then he sort of pulled himself together.
Yeah.
Then they cut to where he actually fainted.
Oof.
And then the live stream, because there was a full on live stream for the whole like 4 or 5 days that the Queen was lying in state, that cut the stream. Because
wow.
It was quite dramatic because all of the cops rushed in to help him and stuff.
Mm.
But not only that, yesterday during the actual funeral procession, one of the bobbies, one of the real kind of London cops with the helmets and stuff, same thing, fainted.
I saw the image of him being carried off on a stretcher.
Look, as a fainty person myself, I've been a fainter my whole life. Nothing to worry about. I've seen doctors and stuff about it.
Mm.
I want to put it out there to the other fainty people. 13 10 60. What's your worst faint story?
Mm.
Or your best faint story?
Yeah, it's the best
most
story,
entertaining,
but it's a bad situation.
We want your most entertaining faint. 13, 10, 60. I've got a couple. The one I'll probably go with was when I was getting an ingrown toenail, burnt out, and I was sitting up. Lucky I was at the doctor because the doctor was the one doing it.
I didn't even know
it,
they
obviously.
Burnt them out.
I think they use liquid nitrogen now and freeze, but
like they do on warts.
Yeah, but I'm old AF. So back then they used to burn them off.
Right.
And I'm sitting up and I think it was a combination of seeing my own blood because there was lots of blood and the smell of the burning flesh. And I've just gone, ooh. And I woke up with Dr. Nicholson, the family GP, fanning me with A4 papers in one hand and pouring water down my throat.
In the other. Oh, wow.
Good faint story.
Bad situation, good faint story.
Good faint story.
My sister fainted and I have very, very good memory of this. We were at my nana's house and she cut a finger and she looked, because we were just like cutting up salad for lunch, and she looked at her finger and my sister does not do well with blood and just fainted. And I think my nana was about 90 or 85 at the time, tried to catch her. And we were like, no, Nan.
85, 90.
Let her fall.
And she's at the age where, you know what, there's going to be less damage to your sister falling on the lino than your 85, 90-year-old grandma trying to catch her.
Yeah, exactly.
13, 10, 60 faint stories. Mm. Lisa's here right now. Lisa, are you the fainter or did you just witness the fainting?
No, I was definitely the fainter. I was getting married. I was stood at the altar with my groom in the middle of saying the vows and I fainted.
In the middle of saying the vows. Was that an omen or are you guys still together?
No, definitely was an omen. No, we only lasted 3 years. It was a long, long time ago.
You should have listened to your body.
I woke up to my dad saying, Lisa, have a Tic Tac. I don't know what he thought a Tic Tac was going to do.
What did dad think you do?
A Tic Tac.
Lisa, what are you doing? You haven't eaten enough Tic Tacs today.
That was Cliffo and Gabby's podcast.